many difficult things. The Bible itself freely acknowledges that there are things in it that are difficult to understand, to get one's head round, as we would say. But of course, when it comes to the business, the matter of a person being or getting right with God, finding peace with God, then it's a very simple and it's a very plain matter. In fact, I would go as far as to say that even a child could understand, and probably a child would better, would easier understand, because there's none of that cynicism, you know, the hardness that comes with years and with experience in sin and in the ways of the world. So when it comes, thank you, my friend. So when it comes to God's salvation and being right with God and finding peace with God, well, it's a very plain, it's a simple matter. God calls us to return to Him, that is to repent, and of course to believe, to trust in. Trust, you see, involves resting. And of course, when you trust, you rest in the arms of the God who made you, and the God who made you in love, made you for love, and made you to be loved, resting in that divine love. That's the place of peace, and that's the place of rest, and it's the place too, the Bible tells me, of strength. You see, again, the Bible tells me that when we were without strength, at just the right time, you see, when we were without strength, God sent His Son into the world. You see, He knows, He made us, He knows our frame, He knows the way that you take, you can't hide from Him. He knows everything about you, your thoughts before you even think them. And He knows and realizes our weakness, our impotence, but He has done something about it, you see, in His grace and love, sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, that through Him that we might be returned to God, that we might find that rest and that peace that's so elusive, is it not, in this world. We don't enjoy very much peace, but that's because we are so very, very sinful. But God, you see, has given us the answer, no, not to everything, but He has given us the answer to the sin factor, the sin problem. Christ Jesus came into the world, you see, to save, to rescue, that is, sinners. In the Bible, you can read the words for yourself, if you like. In Isaiah, in the Old Testament, and in chapter 30, we read, "For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength, but you were unwilling." You see, people, in returning to God, not that you've been there before, but in the sense that God, you see, is your maker, the one who gave you your being, who gave you life and breath, and of course who sustains it as well. well, he calls you to, in a sense, if you like, to return to your Maker, to return to God, you see, in quietness and confidence, trusting, that is, in your Maker through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way, that's the pathway to salvation, and that's the way to find rest, to find peace. That's the way in which to find the strength that you and I, that we so much lack. But you know, the warning is given and has been given, oh, from day one, since man fell into sin, God has been warning humankind about the coming judgment. And of course, in every day and age, the warning still goes out. And it goes out even today. The day of judgment is coming. We spoke about it last Thursday to you. The grounds, the basis for which God has for judging the human race. And it gets closer and closer. It's closer now than it was last Thursday. And you see, minute by minute, the clock is ticking and the midnight hour will soon come. And the warning, you see, is given. And in each and every age it's given. And yet in each and every age, the ungodly will not listen. You are not willing, says the Lord, in spite of the warnings, in spite of the promises, the encouragements that you are given to faith, in returning to God, you see, through Jesus, in quietness and confidence, in trust in your Maker. That's how you would be saved from that coming judgment. But I have to tell you, I have to warn you, it's serious, it's an urgent warning. And of course, it's God calling you not to go on in your sinful ways, in your own ways, in your ways, of course, which are so pleasing to you. That is the way of ungodliness. Turning to God and seeking Him through Jesus Christ, because there is no other way to find God. There is no other way by which you can come to God. No other name, the Bible says, under the whole canopy of heaven where a person can be saved. Only through the name of Jesus, He who says, I am the way, with some emphasis, with great emphasis. That is to say that there is no other way. And so you see, you find in every day, every age, every generation, you find the same pride, the same stubborn, rebellious spirit as you see today. You'll find it in the history of the Bible, through all the Old Testament history, and you find it, well, in every generation, as I say, and it's still as strong and powerful today. But that's the pathway, says God, to judgment and to destruction. And the only way to avert that is returning to God your Maker through Jesus in quietness and confidence. You shall, He says, be saved. But you were not willing, He says, lest, of course, your house be left to you desolate. That is, faced with the utter and absolute terrible desolation of God's judgment. I call upon you this afternoon to return to your Maker, to repent and believe the gospel and be saved and find that rest and that peace and that hope and that joy that comes from God's wonderful, wonderful free salvation. All free to you, no cost and no obligation to you whatsoever. Jesus, you see, he did all the work and he paid all the cost, and all you have to do is simply trust, is simply rest in the arms of Jesus. That, you see, is the pathway to salvation, and that's what God calls you to even this very day. But the unwillingness, you see, you were unwilling, says the Lord. You see, for a long, long time, as I say, the warning has been given. Every day, every generation, it's the same. But of course, we're closer and closer now to the time of the final judgment, closer than ever we were before. And it seems to me, it's a surprising thing to me that you can't hear the rumble of the thunder. It's so close. I wonder to myself that you can't feel, that you can't sense the heat, you know, even the flames licking at your feet, and maybe even the smell of the sulfur. You see, it's that close, I believe. Well, from reading the Bible, anyway, my understanding of it. But you are not willing, says God. You're not willing to listen. You're not willing to return to your Maker. All that's required of you, says the Lord, is that you humble yourself, that you stoop down a peg or two, and acknowledge your sinful ways and turn from them and return to your Maker and find salvation, rest and strength. But of course, the trouble is, in that unwillingness, you look elsewhere, you see, for strength, for salvation, for rest, but of course, you never do find it. You know, you turn to the world, man trusts in, well, all kinds of, organizations and people, the United Nations, for instance. Well, their agenda, they're going to sort out the world, and there'll be no more wars, and there'll be no more poverty, and there will be no more disease, you know. They are going to get rid of it all. That's what they're working towards, an alliance of all the nations together, working towards this end, but a goal, an end that will never be achieved, because as long as man is at war and hostile to his Maker, there never will be peace in this world. There never will be freedom. There will always be wars and rumors of wars, Jesus tells us. Always be poverty right to the very end, because all these things, you see, are the effects of God's judgment as a result of the sinfulness of the inhabitants of the earth. And then, of course, well, maybe you would put your trust in the European Union, you know? And here it is today, already the cracks are appearing and it's beginning to disintegrate. Economic problems with Greece and doubtless with others before too long. And then, of course, well, the state of affairs in Eastern Europe, you know. The pledge was to the people of Ukraine, give up your nuclear weapons and we'll protect you. Some protection they're getting now, being ravaged by Mr. Putin and his marauding Russians. You know, you see, people, you cannot put your trust in man, whether he forms alliances, organizations, and you put your trust in man, and you're going to be disappointed sooner or later. No, says the Lord, salvation, rest and peace and strength and hope are to be found in returning to your Maker, returning to God in quietness and confidence. You shall, he says, be saved, not in godless alliances. But you are not willing, he says. Not willing even to hear the truth, to listen to the truth, not willing to hear the truth about God, who and what he is, that he is the judge of all the earth, not willing to hear the truth, of course, about his Son, and more importantly, the one who would be your Savior, and of course, even less willing to hear the truth about yourself. What it is that you really and actually are. Sinful to a man, to a woman. Depraved in nature, the Bible says, each and every one of us. A friend was telling me just the other day of some people who, well, they don't think very kindly of me, but they were telling this friend of mine what a bad, bad person I was. And I had no right to be doing this job that I'm doing here today. And I smiled at the thought of it because I thought to myself, they don't know the half of it. They don't have an inclination to the depth of my sin. It's as black as hell. And so, of course, is yours. All of us, you see, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you see, you're not willing to hear that. Don't be preaching this to us, you see. I don't want to be warned. I don't want to be told about my sin. Speak to me, tell me something nice. If some silver-tongued devil were here telling you nice, silvery, slippery things, telling you lies, you would all be gathered round and you would be listening to him. Don't preach to us, don't tell us about this stuff, you see. You see, you are not willing to hear the truth about God, about his Son, and of course, well, more importantly, about your end, about that final judgment, because it's coming so close. You must needs be saved. And instead of flying into the arms of man, instead of flying to somebody else for help, it's to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior, that you should be flying to in returning to your Maker in quietness and confidence. God says you will be saved. But you see, we tell you about the only way of salvation, the only way that a person, a man, woman, whatever they are, however sinful they be, whatever record they have against them, that the only Savior and Jesus can save them and wipe the record clean and absolve them before Almighty God. But you're not willing to hear, you're not willing to listen to such. And of course, well, the Bible reveals to me it's a spiritual issue. You see, it's to do with the heart, it's to do with the will and the understanding. You're not willing, Jesus says, to come to me that you might have life. There's life, you see, to be had, to be found for every single one of you. Were you to return to your Maker, were you to turn to God through Jesus, life would be found. But you are not willing, he says, not willing to return to God. So you see, the trouble is that you suppress the truth in unrighteousness, God says. You know it. You know the truth. You know that what we see makes sense. You know you have the sense of that justice in you. It's built into you by your Maker. You know that the things we say are right and true, but you choose rather willingly. You choose not to be willing. You choose not to listen. And you choose not, of course, to obey the truth, but of course to go your own way in spite of the warnings concerning the judgment that is to come and that is so very, very close. In returning to your Maker in quietness and confidence, God says, you shall be saved. Find rest and find strength. Those things that the world to which you turn can never, never provide for you. But then, of course, the reason for this unwillingness, you have to ask yourself the question, why do the ungodly, why do they refuse such an offer of salvation, of peace and rest? Aren't these the things that we all want? Strength and peace. I dare say there are many people in Stoke and Trent today who would give them, they would put it this way, their right arm for just a little bit of peace in their lives, you know? And yet the ungodly refuse to return to their Maker, to God, in order to find this peace. Why should you refuse it? I mean, why would you turn from the only way and put your trust in man who keeps failing you, who keeps letting you down, disappointing you? Time and time again you're disappointed by people you put your trust in, your hopes in, looking for strength and looking for peace and rest. So you see, people, it's an amazing thing, is it not, that you should refuse such? Well, here's the answer. Here's the reason for it. You see, you love your ungodliness. You would rather, you'd rather choose the way of religion rather than trust God's Son. You see, you would rather trust the state. You would rather trust the benefit system. You would rather trust everyone and anything before you trust in your Maker and return to Him in quietness and confidence. You see, people, it's your love for ungodliness. You love it, you see. And as long as you love that ungodliness, it's impossible for you to trust in God, to rest in Him confidently. It's an impossibility. But then, of course, here you are faced with many, many and great dangers, are you not, in your world today? Who knows what's going to happen in Eastern Europe? Will it be all-out war in Europe once again? What about the disease? 50 million people died during the Second World War. Since then, 40 million people have died of AIDS. I recall listening to a lecture given by a doctor, and some 20 years ago, I tell you, and he was telling us of the awful way that viruses were changing, morphing, as they say. And he says there are things on the horizon. He says that medically speaking, he says we haven't got a clue. You know, the world is ridden with disease. AIDS apart, you know, and people are dying of diseases day after day, not to mention cancer, the big C. So wars and disease, you know, and the violence on your streets, you know, the habitual warfare of Islam the world over. So the dangers are tremendous. And the possibilities of you being whisked out of the world before you know it are just amazing, totally amazing. And, the one person who can guide you safely through it. Spite of all the disease, spite of all the wars, in spite of all the bad stuff going on in the world today, the one person who can guide you safely through it and bring you to heaven, your Maker, God, in returning to Him, to your Maker, in quietness and confidence, you shall be saved. Trusting in God, returning to Him through His Son Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There is no other, people. But your unwillingness, the reason for it, well, it's your ungodliness, you see. And in spite of the fact, can I say, that you know that He has loved you. I mean, He's given you the Bible to explain all these things to you. He's given you the Bible so that you would know and understand His will, so that you could come to Jesus and have life and joy and hope and peace. He gave you the Bible. That's a great token of His love. And you've had it in this nation of yours for nigh on 400 years. Maybe perhaps even a bit longer. But you've still got the Bible amongst you. And another token of His love, of course, is, you know, the greatest evidence, the Bible says, of God's love is in the giving of His Son to die for the ungodly. To die for your ungodliness, to remove it, to take it away, and to make you godly instead. You see, in returning to your Maker, in quietness and confidence, you shall be saved. Find rest for your soul. And of course, find that strength that you so lack. But not only people, not only the Bible, not only God's Son, not only the cross of His Son, but even now, you see, He sends preachers amongst you to lift up their voices and to warn you to fly from the wrath to come into the arms of Jesus, in order that you might be, that you might be saved. The tokens of God's love, you see, for you, His care, His concern, His compassion for your soul, and the offer of salvation that lies there on the table, yours to take, if only you were willing, but you were not willing, the Lord says. So you see, it's that ungodliness. It's that ungodliness that you love that bars you and keeps you from that rest, from that peace with God. But look, read for yourself and see, straight out of the Bible, Christ died for the ungodly. That's who he came for. Not the goody-goodies, not the righteous. I didn't come to call them, he says. I came to call sinners. And I came to call them, he says, to repentance. That is, returning to God through Jesus, that they might find a rest and strength. So you see, people, it's not just the act of sin, bad enough though that is. It's the root, you see. It's our evil hearts, it's our godless natures. That's the problem. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says God. You see, people, it's our hearts, it's our natures, it's our inner condition. And there's only one person who can change that. That would take a miracle. And that's what Jesus says it requires. He says you must be born again. There must be a miraculous work of God done upon your heart, changing you and making you a new person. In returning, you see, to your Maker, to God, that's the answer in quietness and confidence. He says, you shall be saved. But you see, it's a voluntary, enmity, this hostility towards God, you see, it's chosen, it's willful. The Bible says that we all like sheep have gone astray. We wander, as it were, from the pathway of our Maker of God. But he calls you this afternoon to return to him in order that you might be saved. Because the outworking of your unwillingness, the outworking of you not willing to return to him, well, the end, the Bible tells me, will be swift, it will be complete, it will be certain, and it will be sure destruction. The picture that God gives us is that of a bowing wall. You ever seen one of them? And of course, as you're walking past it, if you're sensible, you'll give it a wide berth because, well, who knows when it'll fall. And of course, that's what your destruction will be like, says God. When it comes, suddenly, surely, certainly, down will it fall. And of course, the end of it is complete and everlasting destruction. That's the result of your unwillingness. That is to return to your Maker in quietness and confidence. The collapse will be total. And such, of course, such is the reason why we cannot be silent. Why we must warn you to flee from the wrath to come. Why we must tell you about the judgment of God. Is there a Christian amongst you here this afternoon and you're struck dumb? You haven't told your spouse, your children about these things, your colleagues? How could a Christian person, I ask myself, remain silent when the inhabitants of the earth, all of them, are faced with this catastrophic judgment of God, this terrible end, unless they return to their Maker in quietness and confidence and be saved? How could any person with a modicum of love in their hearts possibly be silent knowing such an end? If your neighbor's house were on fire and they were sleeping in their beds unknowingly, what would you do? What would you do besides phoning for the fire brigade? You would kick the door in, you would shout, scream, you would do everything you possibly could to save them from the flames. Well, we're here Thursday by Thursday to tell you, to warn you, the house is on fire. Wake up out of your sleep of death and return to your Maker through Jesus in quietness and in confidence, and you shall be saved. Pride, the Bible tells me, goes before destruction. I don't know if you saw it in the media the other day, but the actress Helen Mirren, did you notice her stumbling up the stairs at some grand event? I couldn't help laughing, it was very wicked of me. But she's such a beautiful old lady, and boy, doesn't she know it. And I thought to myself, how appropriate. And those words came to me, pride goes before a fall. People, it's pride that keeps the majority of you, if not all of you, keeps you from God's kingdom, keeps you from God's salvation, keeps you from God's peace, because you will not humble yourself, acknowledge your sin, return to your Maker in quietness and confidence, and find salvation, rest and strength. I tell you these things, why? Because I'm better than you? No, doubtless some of you are better people than I am. Not because of that, not at all. I tell you because of my confidence. My confidence is in God, not myself. Left to me, I would perish in my sin, just the same as many of you will. Oh, my dear, are you? Right one? How about it? Have a nice day. So, you see, people, no, it's not that we are better than you, far from it. Simply that we have a confidence in God, in His Word, in what He has promised, that He will save those who return to Him. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, of course. So I urge you, fly not to the world. Trust not in men, in princes and rulers, but trust in God, in the living God through Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. Whoever, the Bible says, calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus, that is, shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Oh, in God's word, dear people, a promise, a wonderful divine promise. Take my Son, rest in Him, says God, and I will give you rest, I will give you strength, I will give you salvation, deliverance from a certain and known danger, your own personal sin and sinful nature, and the consequences of it, the judgment of God. Fly from the wrath to come into the arms of Jesus, the loving Savior, who is offered to you this afternoon. Take Him to be your own. Receive Him, and He will give you the right. People talk about rights today. It's my right. Human right. We have no human rights. They were forfeited when sin came into the world. But Jesus will give you this right, to be called a child of God, if you will but receive Him. Sinners, to a man, to a woman, all of you. But you can be saved, you can be delivered, you can become a child of God if you will but simply, quietly and confidently return to your Maker and put your trust in Him through Jesus Christ, His Son. Well, I'm all but done. you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, take home with you, it's offered to you free of charge and without cost or obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. God's Word, precious, a promise. Read for yourself and see that these things are so. May God bless you and have mercy upon your soul. Do you want to, sir?
Yep.
Thank you. You're welcome.